If we were to have a little quiz, a multiple choice quiz, all you have to do is choose from one of the answers and fill in the blank. And among the choices that you have would be the words slave or friend. And fill in the blank, and which one does it sound like? You are my blank if you do what I command you. Doesn't that sound like a slave? If you do what I command you, then you're a slave, right? That's not what Jesus said. He said, you're my friend if you do what I command you. So why would he say that? In fact, it's interesting because he says, I no longer call you slaves, but my friends. And then says, if you do what I command you, you're my friends. So how do we understand this? Well, we have to look at what it is that he's commanding us to do. If he was asking us to do something that was forced upon us, something that violates us, something that is against our dignity, yeah, we would be slaves. But he says, my command is that you love. In other words, what he's doing is telling us to do exactly what we were created to do. He's telling us to do the only thing that is going to bring fulfillment into our lives. And so, in other words, he's telling us to do what is the very best for us. That's why we would be his friends. That's why it's not something that would be slavery, because we're being asked to do the best. Now, when we consider what this is really about, we ask ourselves, okay, he wants us to love. What is that? This shouldn't be a difficulty. As I said, it's the very thing that we're created to do. But think about this for a minute. God himself had to come down from heaven, take a human nature to himself, and command us to do the very thing that we were created to do. That's how badly sin has hurt us. Look at it another way. If God were to appear to you and say, look, the dogs have a problem. The dogs, for some reason, don't bark anymore. I'm asking you to become a dog just to go and tell the dogs to bark. Would you be willing to do that? Yeah, the difference between us and dogs is finite. The difference between us and God is infinite. And God, in his mercy and his humility, is still willing to come down to become one of us. Not only to tell us what to do, but to show us what to do. And that becomes essential because even to say you have to love, what does that mean? Many times I pointed out, I used to ask all the couples that would come in that wanted to be married, say, well, that's great. Why do you want to be married? Every single time I got the exact same answer, it's because we're in love. Perfect. Then I would say, what does that mean? And I would get answers like, oh, it's this warm feeling we have when we're together. Like, barf. That's going to go away in 2 weeks. So what is love? You know, I'd ask the kids that question in school, and they'd tell me all about the emotions and all that. And I would say, okay, let's think about this for a minute. He said, who do you love the most in this world? So for most of you, it's going to be either your mom or your dad, right? I say, now think about this. When you go home after school today, are you going to look at your mom and go, oh, mom, oh, I've just been so desiring to see you all day. And the kids look at me and go, that's gross. Like, yeah, it is. I said, so no, love is not an emotion. Love is a virtue. I stopped asking the couples who wanted to get married because I couldn't take the answers anymore. But It's a matter of looking at this and saying, okay, the very people who are making a vow to love somebody don't even know what it means. So when Jesus commands us to love, do we have a clue what he's even talking about? So that's what we need to be able to look at. Because he commanded us to love as he loves us. Now, so when we think about what love is, again, it's a virtue, as I mentioned. It's doing what's best for the other. It's seeking the good of the other. It's putting the other first. That goes against everything that our society is about, because our society says it's looking out for me. I put myself first. That's not love, that's selfishness. So love and selfishness are opposite of one another. And that's where we run into trouble, because we are in a very, very selfish society, and it's affected all of us. So when we think about the nature of love, first of all, we must understand that we are never able to initiate it. God has to love us before we can love anybody else, because he puts his love into our hearts. Now we can love him in return, and we can love others with the love that God has given us. It's exactly what we hear in the second reading. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. That's where it has to begin. So we first have to be willing to open our hearts to God. Now, a lot of people get afraid of that. Some because they're afraid they might get hurt because of all the experience we've had with other human beings who've hurt us. Sometimes we think that God can't love me, either because I'm unlovable or because I've committed too many sins, or I don't deserve it, or whatever it may be. First of all, let's go back then and look at that. The only possible way that God can treat you is to love you. Because as we heard in the second reading, St. John says it as succinctly as it's possible to say, God is love. Period. God is love. That's the only thing that God can do. So he can't not love you, because that would go against his nature. And he made you in his own image and likeness, and God is love, which means you are made in the image and likeness of love. You are made to love, and you are made to be loved. And ultimately, we're made to be transformed into love. And then the idea that, well, I don't deserve it. True enough, we don't. But love is not a reward. We can't earn love. Love is a gift. For the parents, ask yourself, what have your little ones done to earn your love? What have they done to deserve your love? Nothing. Now, if you look at a baby and you think, well, the baby hasn't done anything, but babies are cute and they're cuddly and everything. Okay, what has your teenager done to deserve your love? Right. And yet parents continue to love them. They're not cute and cuddly anymore. And they do everything possible to make you think that they're unlovable. And yet you continue to love them. Doesn't mean you're always happy with what they're doing, but you continue to love them. Because they're lovable. Because of who they are, not because of what they've done. That's exactly what God looks at with us. He loves us because of who we are, because of who he made us to be. So we have to be able to recognize that. Beyond that, we look at it and think, well, of all the people, how could God love me? Look at the first reading. The Jewish people who were there at Cornelius' house were astounded because God gave the Holy Spirit to Gentiles. How is that possible that the Gentiles can get the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because God loves them. And so we have these preconceived ideas sometimes, and we need to get rid of them. Because God loves you because of who you are. It's just that simple. Now, beyond that, what are we supposed to do? How do we love? First, we have to understand that love is, as I said earlier, the opposite of selfishness. And so we look at our lives and we realize how much selfishness is involved. And the question that I would always have is, how much do you really want to love? It's a challenge that I will present to every person here who is married. Because one of the constant frustrations I've had over the last 35 years is to challenge married people to love more, and the answer is no. Because we've just kind of gotten into this routine. If we loved more, that would change our relationship, and, you know, that could be a problem. Now, if you love more, it's going to make your relationship better. Yeah, it'll change, but for the better. But if I were to interpret that a little bit differently, it's like we're content with our mediocrity. We've settled into mediocrity, and that's where we're content to be. Now I ask you, think back to the day that you got married. When you're standing there in front of the altar of God, and your spouse-to-be looks at you and says, I want to love you as little as I can for the rest of my life. I want to be mediocre toward you for the rest of my life. Would you have made your vows in return? I think not. The vow is to love, not love a little, not being mediocre, to love. Now, if we want to find out how well we're doing, Jesus told us that if we do this, his joy will be in us. And our joy will be complete. So now another quiz. How many people do you know who are truly joyful? We don't need much time to think about that one, and we don't need many fingers to count on either. Because there are very few people who are really joyful. Why? Because we're being selfish. The selfishness brings misery into our lives. It's only by love that we're going to have the joy. It's only by love that we're going to be fulfilled, because that's the only thing that can fulfill us. If you're like most people in America, when you go home today, look in your attic, look in your basement, look in your garage, look in your storage place that you're renting every month, for all of the things that were going to make you fulfilled and bring you joy and make your life so much better. They work so well that they're now in the basement or in the attic or wherever they are. The amazing thing is that we're even willing to pay monthly to rent one of these places to put our junk that we never go and use. I mean, it's so important, and it's going to bring so much joy and fulfillment into my life that I can't get rid of it. I'm going to rent a place and stick it in there. Does that make sense? I mean, think about this. The advertisers and the marketing people get paid huge amounts of money to convince us that these things will do something that they cannot do. But we're always looking for something that's going to make us feel fulfilled. And there is only one thing that is going to fulfill you, and that is to do what you were created to do. To love. That's what God made you for. That's what he wants for you, to be able to love. And so if you don't have the joy and you're not feeling fulfilled, it's not because you're not being loved. It's because we're not loving. It's counterintuitive. Because we think if I can get more, then I'm going to be happier and I'm going to be more fulfilled. No. If we're loving, if we're giving, if we're seeking the good of the other, that's where we're going to find the fulfillment. That's where we're going to find the joy and the peace. That's what people desire, and that's what they're created for. That's what our Lord came down to teach us. And it's what he continues to do. It's not even just that he did it 2,000 years ago. Yes, he came down and he taught us, but he continues to give himself. Think what's going to happen here at the communion rail in just a few minutes. When you receive Holy Communion, you receive the Lord 100%. He is holding absolutely nothing back from you. Nothing. He's giving you his entire person, 100%. Now ask yourself, what am I giving him? Am I really opening my heart to receive the love that he is pouring into me? And what am I giving him back? Am I loving him with my whole heart and soul and strength, as he told us that we are to do? That's where we need to look. Because flowing from there, then, we can take that love and use that to love others. So he continues to give. He continues to show us what that love really is, and then calls us to be able to love him and to love one another in that same way. So that's the challenge that's put before all of us. But the sad thing is, this shouldn't be a challenge. Like I said, this is the very thing that we are created for. This is what God made us for, to be able to love. So you see how shrewd the devil has been in turning everything backwards and making us focus on ourselves, thinking that somehow this is going to bring joy and fulfillment? No, just the opposite. Get the focus off the self. Love God and love neighbor with your whole heart and soul and strength. Then you will have the joy. Then you will have the fulfillment. And then we will be fulfilling exactly what Jesus told us. You are my friend if you do what I command you. And my command is this: love one another.